Dank Stiermeer voor de prachtige bijdrage, kunstbijdrage. En dan nu ga ik over naar het Engels. Welcome, parents of N. For the next item, we invited parents to talk about their children's art. And in front of us is Anne Forrest. And she will have a conversation explaining her parents what her art is about. But before we start, Matthijs has a small introduction on Anne before you can introduce your parents.
Yeah, so then we switch back from English to Dutch again, because this is in Dutch, and it explains a little what you do and why you do it, and so I'll read it.
Good.
It says, mijn schilderijen stammen uit mijn opvoeding, waarin ik veel in aanraking ben gekomen met mijn Russisch-orthodoxe iconen. De icoon staat als beeldtaal op mijn netvlies gebrand. Ik eigen het mij toe door een eigen wereld ermee te creëren, bevolkt met alle figuren die ik schilder. Ook is de portretkunst uit de barok en de renaissance periode een grote inspiratiebron voor mij. Wat mij aantrekt tot deze klassieke werken, die ik als bronmateriaal gebruik, is de zelfcontrole in de gezichten van de geportretteerden, alsof ze zich proberen te beschermen. Dit zijn de gezichten die ik wil ontmaskeren, waar ik de waardigheid en status van af wil pellen, zodat hun geheimen onthuld worden.
Ja.
Jouw woorden.
Yes. My words, exactly.
Okay.
So, I'm going to introduce my parents now. My mom, Nancy Forrest. She is a translator from English to Dutch, from Dutch to English. Oh my gosh. And moved to Holland 34 years ago, and to join my dad, Jim Forrest, who is a writer and a journalist and a activist and a, what else, like a, oh, is that better or is that not a problem? Okay.
And a cheerleader.
My cheerleader.
Yeah, I get to cheer for you.
All your children's cheerleaders.
We've got six children, so there's a lot of cheering.
Yes, and they do a lot. So, and you moved here about 40 years ago from America?
39.
Yeah. And, okay.
Came to work for a peace organization, worked closely with various Dutch groups who were involved in trying to prevent more nuclear weapons being based in the Netherlands.
Right. So you came here to be a, like a peace activist and stop those things from
I didn't
going
succeed.
On. You try every day.
We're still working on it.
We try, exactly. Or you do. Very hard. So now I'm going to explain my work to you. Or is that, that's the idea, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of worried that if I start explaining my work to you, you'll start explaining it back to me because you...
I have a question.
Okay,
One of the things that surprised me very much was at a certain point when you were writing an artist statement, you recognized that there was a link between what you're doing and Russian Orthodox iconography. And I think this was a surprise for me, although as soon as you said it, I recognized the connection. But when did you recognize it, and how did that happen, and why did Russian Orthodox iconography affect you so powerfully?
Well, I didn't realize that I was so heavily influenced by iconography until actually right after I graduated. And before that, I think I had this very... puberal. My mom's a translator, so I can always ask her. Adolescent inclination to kind of not even go there and think that my parents influenced me so much,
and the
things that they kind of made me do, like go to church with them until I was 10 or 12 or something. And so I just didn't go there, and then I realized I'm always making these portraits, and the eyes are so important, and the contact between the viewer and the person in the portrait is is of such importance that all I could actually think about at a certain point was when I would go to church with you and I would see these people standing in front of these icons and having these very loaded moments, mm-hmm. obviously, mm-hmm. And it being very mysterious, this kind of relationship that was kind of evolving between these two people. And I couldn't deny it at a certain point. And then I went on the bad bandwagon, and I said, it's all iconography. I'm not religious, but I really like icons, and I like thinking about them, and I like making that kind of art my own. So.
Well, I remember when you had done one particular painting. You had done one particular painting with and you have many of these, with a large figure holding a smaller figure.
Right.
And I was looking at it, and I said, Anna, this looks just like an icon to me.
Yeah.
It looks like what we call, the Russians call a Vladimirskaya, which is the
Virgin Mary.
The Virgin Mary holding Jesus. This is a very common theme
yeah.
in iconography.
Yeah.
And there you were, and I
yeah.
said...
But here's a non-human,
yeah.
a creation of your own, not recognizable as anything we've ever seen in the zoo,
well,
not to mention on the subway.
It's like a Darwinian icon,
yeah.
more like something like that, maybe. Or at least I enjoy incorporating more earthly subjects into like an icon setting than you maybe would.
Yeah, and another point of contact between the tradition of iconography and your own painting is that it's spectacularly two-dimensional.
Mm, yeah.
There's absolutely no effort made to create a three-dimensional or illusion of three-dimensional space.
No, because it's all about the symbols
yeah.
and about the just getting to the contact as quickly as possible. It's not the... like the effects that you can create with art or creating space in a painting isn't as important as that relationship.
As much as one can see readily a kind of connection between iconography and your painting, there are obviously other influences, and would you identify some of them?
I can hear your journalist side kind of peeping through.
Yeah, I'm
it's
also
weird.
A journalist. We didn't mention that.
Well, I've got my three like more Renaissance Baroque influences, Cranach and Van Eyck and Holbein. But I also like watching movies a lot. So David Lynch is an important guy for me. It's more like the sphere, like ambiance mm-hmm. or something, or kind of the loaded moments that you have in David Lynch's movies and how tense they can be. I like that tension a lot. So, but I like watching horror movies and some people find my work a little like unsettling, and I hope to soak up more of that when I watch those scary movies. Just to make them more, or no, I don't set out to make them unsettling, but I like that kind of, like, I can't help that from happening.
And does that have any connection with your, not all the time, but frequent choice of black as a face color?
Well, yeah, I, it's another thing that sometimes gets in the way of what I'm trying to get at. I just want the eyes to kind of peer out, and I'm worried that if I'm worried that if I spend too much time in the what's going on in the face, that the expressions that I want to, you know, come out of the painting, that it would kind of fade away. So that is, I don't do it all the time, but it's a reason why I do it a lot, well, some of the time.
I have a question.
Yes.
so many of your paintings are on rugs, on found objects, on street signs, on pieces of wood, unstretched canvas. Why, especially on unstretched canvas, I found so interesting. Why did you make that decision?
Well, I did go to two art academies, but I somehow managed to not learn a bunch of stuff. And I'm actually kind of glad I didn't now, but that did kind of make for a couple of sort of awkward phases that I do like, but it did mean that if I wanted to make the transition from drawing, which I did only until about my 20th or something, that if I wanted to start making paintings, that I would have to paint on canvas. But I didn't know how to stretch it. I didn't, and I didn't want to learn because I'm very stubborn. And I thought, well, I ended my drawing phase by just making very big drawings on big pieces of paper. So who says that I have to stretch this canvas? I can just nail it on the wall and go from there. And then I started kind of liking creases and folds that were starting to happen. And I realized I don't have to have them flat on the wall. I can have them a little bit on the floor. So it offers a lot of possibilities that otherwise wouldn't be there. And then, well, then why should it have to be a canvas? It can be a piece of carpet that I have lying around my house that I haven't been using. And then that kind of led to the fact that my very, you know, graphical, my graphic drawing style in painting was made a lot more interesting by the fact that it was on this very rough texture. And it's kind of gone from there, just finding old pieces of wood that I can saw up.
And you give them names.
Yeah.
So there's something about the fact that they have names that it creates a very different experience for the viewer.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at this painting and suddenly you know that this is a person.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
Why did you decide to name your little creatures?
I think I really did start doing that when I realized about the icons and the going to church with you.
Yeah.
Like, they were always just Saint so-and-so, and that made it just very clear that you need to get in touch with Saint so-and-so.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to kind of nudge people towards with the first name. Like, this is Jacqueline, and you need to get to know her, or you need to walk away now if you don't want to know her, you know. So, but she's here, and deal with it. So, and with the creatures, I don't know. I mean, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The icons of Mary and Jesus, and I think it could really be just as simple as that I like animals, but I also like I don't know. I used to want to really work in Jim Henson's creature shop.
Yeah.
Like, that was my dream job when I was a little kid. And I just liked the fact that they were in the workshop somewhere kind of making up animals.
Yes.
And there's got to be a root in there somewhere. It's also probably in some other places, but I just thought of this right now, actually. That don't you think that makes sense?
Yes.
Because wanted to do that,
we
didn't
were all
I?
Big Jim Henson fans.
We had all those books.
Yeah.
I remember.
Jim Henson used to actually make contributions to work I was doing, and I treasure letters from him that I have tucked in.
Yeah, and we got him to send autographed pictures, real, like, official pictures of all the Muppets,
I had them
in my bedroom.
But I had no idea this played a role in your artistic development.
I didn't, like, until right now, but a little bit, I can't deny. Yeah.
So I have some last questions for you. What did it mean for you as a parent that your daughter chose to be an artist?
Well, answered prayer. I love art. I spend any time I go to a city, one of the priorities, the highest priority apart from what I have to do, is to go to the local museums.
So you've always empowered her to go in this direction.
Oh, yeah.
And how did it help you to understand your daughter? Or
We're still working on that.
And how did this help you?
I don't know. What do you think, Nance?
I think it did. I think it did. But I find it very interesting when we are talking to Anna, you know, we're her parents, so we talk the way parents do to their children. But then when we see her talking to gallery owners or people who are interested in buying her work, we see this whole other side of her that's very, very confident, very adult. We don't see that because we're her mom and dad. And it's wonderful.
Great. Well, thanks for
thank you.
Coming to our
thank
table
you.
And having this
thank
conversation.
You.
I
thank
hope
you.
You
it was nice meeting Anna Forrest.
I totally agree.
Okay.
So now we're switching back to Dutch.
Okay.
Thank you for that question.
Thank you so much for being here. It was a great honor.
Thank you.